57 of Luke chapter 1. Before this, of course, you probably know the story. Many of you, I know it's not a few days before Christmas just yet, but many of us read through these passages of Luke prior to Christmas, and we're familiar with the story of Zechariah in the temple and how he sees an angel, and he's thunderstruck by this, and he can hardly believe what he is being told, and because of his unbelief, he's left speechless, literally. And then we hear about the angel coming to Mary, and so on, and we have Mary's song. And after Mary's song, then we begin reading in verse 57. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There's no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately his mouth was opened, and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. The neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone heard this, wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. And then this is going to be the focus of our message this morning. Praise be to the God, to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. May God bless to us the reading of his holy word. Dear people of God, called to be saints, do you remember what this country was like 400 years ago? What happened this year? 400 years ago? Probably not. I'll remind you. The English had a colony up in Newfoundland. That's the eastern part of Canada. And they had a settlement in Jamestown. And an Indian named Pocahontas had gotten married to one of the Englishmen. The French had a colony in South Carolina and in Quebec. And the Spanish had a settlement in Florida. And where we live was Indian territory. 400 years ago. 400 years ago, new provinces where states were being set up in South America. 400 years ago, this year, Pocahontas died in England. Do you remember any of the covenants, the contracts that were being made with the natives at that time? That's a long time ago. There's a lot of changes that have been taking place. That's how long it had been since a prophet had brought a message from the Lord to Israel. The last prophet had spoken in glowing terms of this great and glorious future for Israel through the Christ. Now it's 400 years. And they are under the domain of the most powerful kingdom in the history of mankind at that time. They were a subjugated people. I have trouble remembering what our government did a month ago. I even have trouble what we did in consistory sometimes a month ago. 400 years ago? And the people didn't have it in writing. They got it through their scribes and their Pharisees in the synagogue. But 400 years without a new message? And the people of Israel were simply going by law and tradition. And there were those who were just hoping and hoping. And after 400 years, it gets a little difficult to hold on to hope. And you can imagine Zechariah's astonishment when he is in the holy place serving the altar of incense, and an angel tells him that he and his wife are going to have a baby in their old age. It's astonishing to say he's going to have a baby, but it's far more astonishing to have an angel standing there talking to him and telling him not just of a baby for them, but telling him of the Redeemer. That he's coming. 400 years had passed. Nothing. And now this. I think even we might wonder if we were seeing straight. Hearing straight. He was speechless in unbelief. The name John means the Lord is gracious. The Lord was being gracious to them in their old age, indeed. But by the time John was born, Zechariah had had time to think of, indeed, how gracious the Lord was being. Not only had God sent an angel with a message for his people, but the Christ was coming. You know what that means? That means this great age promised to David, this glorious age of the people of God was coming. Their own son was going to be a forerunner of the Christ. And Mary's son, a relative, would be the Christ. God was going to redeem his people. It's incredible. The people didn't know all of this, but the gossip lines were buzzing throughout the hill country of Judea. Everyone who heard about these events concerning John's birth and his naming were asking, what is this child going to be? The Lord is gracious? What does that mean? Everybody probably had their theory. Zechariah is amazed, not simply because the silence had been broken, but because of the way it was being broken. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. Hear what he's saying? Zechariah praises God because Mary's child was the Christ. Emmanuel, God with us. God was not sending angels anymore. God was not sending just prophets. God himself was descending the promised Christ in a new and a powerful way. That's what Zechariah means when he says he has raised up a horn of salvation for us. That's his way of saying a strong salvation, a mighty salvation is coming. A horn was the instrument in a ram's head in which the power of the animal was realized. It was made practical. God was coming in a powerful and practical way with sovereign power to provide victory. Zechariah says more. This horn of salvation was raised up for us in the house of his servant David. Long before, in Psalm 132, verse 17, the psalmist had said, "Here I will make a horn to grow for David and set up a lamp for my anointed ones." And you'll find that same language used elsewhere. During that long 400 years of silence, the horn of David had become rather weak. The throne of David, they kept track of their genealogies. That's what Israelites did. But this throne of David seemed lost amid the turning over of the nations. But with these events, Zechariah remembers the psalm. And he sings, because the Lord is remembering his word and is raising up a king of David's line. Verse 70 says, as he spoke through his holy prophets of long ago. Zechariah's priest was well aware of much that had been prophesied about the coming Messiah. And under the inspiration of the Spirit, he is singing that it's coming true. All that the law and the prophets, all of what Zechariah did in the temple, all of it was coming to its fullness. It was pointing toward this coming of the Christ, the visit of the angel to him and to Mary, the birth of John, this amazing pregnancy of Mary, all evidence that God was doing powerful things. Of course, we understand that even those things would not have convinced Zechariah of what was taking place if it had not been granted to him by the Spirit. He indeed was filled with the Holy Spirit. What he was saying, he could say, because the Holy Spirit was revealing truth to him and through him for our benefit. And this song is for our benefit. Zechariah knew the word. He saw the events. He was experiencing these events. And by the power of the Spirit could believe in and could sing about the great way in which God was working out his redemptive plan. And he continues and he says, salvation. He sings about salvation from enemies, from the hand of all who hate us. You can imagine what or who he's thinking of when he says from enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. considering the political circumstances. Zechariah could very well have been thinking about the fact this is going to be the end of Roman domination. He would have been wrong, but you can see that that's what he would have been thinking about. And there are a lot of people who think that that's exactly what he was thinking about with these words. And yet that seems to be unlikely, because he follows that sentence with this phrase, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore. Now, how would political deliverance in his day be showing mercy to his forefathers? Clearly, there's something deeper in his mind. And you begin to realize he's thinking not just politically, but he is thinking spiritually of the evil one and his hosts and those who are being used to afflict God's people. It is the kingdom of darkness that is the enemy, the force fighting God's people to destroy them. And this force, the Messiah would destroy. Through him, God's people would be saved, rescued from darkness, and be brought into light. And what this child, this Christ, would do would be retroactive to all believers from the very beginning. And thus he would be showing mercy to them as well. Jesus Christ, in his redemptive work, removing the guilt of the sin of all of the forefathers who lived in the faith, as well as all who presently believe, as well as all future believers. The benefits of Christ's life and death were for all time. He died once for all. God in Jesus was remembering the covenant promises. The oath he swore to Abraham. He had promised to Abraham, of course, a covenant, and a son who would fulfill that covenant, a child through whom blessing would come to all the nations on the earth. The Lord had promised to Abraham a kingdom. And now in this Christ, this Messiah, this reign was coming. This reign of righteousness. This kingdom. And to the extent that Zechariah understood all that, we don't know. But he could sing. And he did sing. By the inspiration of the Spirit. About deliverance from enemies. A deliverance that would enable the people, as he sings, to serve the Lord without fear, in holiness and in righteousness. In that line, we understand Zechariah's song here has a spiritual focus, not just a political one. He's talking about serving the Lord without fear, in holiness and righteousness. He's giving thanks for this full redemption and the fulfillment of all the prophecies of the covenant. If we, by the illumination of the Spirit, know who Jesus is, we can sing with Zechariah. We're going to try it after, with a tune that I don't find terribly good, but the words are awesome, so we'll try it after. But we should be able to sing these words. God has come and visited his own. He has provided for us a most wonderful salvation, so powerful that we are set free from our enemies, from the hand of all who hate us. As we confess together, we have been set free from the tyranny of the devil. We have been set free from the terrible guilt and the power of sin. The world in which we live no longer has any power over us to cause us to live in fear. If we understand who Jesus Christ is, Zechariah did, it seems, and he sang for joy. And are we filled with that same joy? Before we look at the end of the song, it's good to notice that the redemption and deliverance that Zechariah sings about is not just a salvation to life in heaven someday. He understands it has immediate consequences. It is a salvation to service. He says that the purpose of what Christ is coming is to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. That's the purpose of Christ's life, Christ's death, his resurrection, and his ascension. He came to defeat the devil. He came to equip us to bring forth good works of holiness and righteousness for our God. He came so that we would not just be forgiven and go to heaven someday, but so that we would begin to live these transformed, holy, righteous lives in such distinction from the ways of the world that we would in fact be the light of the world. You see, this Christmas season, we should not only celebrate the forgiveness of our sins. We should not only celebrate that our enemies are defeated, but we should celebrate that we are a people called to holy, righteous service. Called to live according to the pattern of Christ. We've been saved to serve. In the beginning, we saw that the occasion for the song of Zechariah was the birth and the circumcision of John. But notice he doesn't sing about John until the end, the very end of the song. You see, Zechariah understood something about the birth of his own child. John's birth had meaning only in relation to Christ. That's true of every one of us, of course. We understand that. But that's particularly true of John. John's whole purpose was to pave the way for the Christ. He was to prepare the hearts of the people for the coming of the Christ. His primary purpose was to preach, calling the people to repentance, to the humble awareness of their lost and miserable condition. He was preparing the hearts of the people that they might hear the good news of the gospel. He was to make them realize that salvation is not there simply by right of inheritance, but it could only come through repentance and faith. Really needed to be born again. And every Advent again, it is good for us to hear the voice of John crying in the wilderness, to hear that call to repentance. That's really what Advent is all about historically, isn't it? It's a period in which we are to meditate upon our sin, our sinful condition, and what God in Christ is doing on our behalf. We are to seek reconciliation and turn our face to the coming one. But realize this. Only through personal repentance and forgiveness of sins can we enjoy this salvation. We may never just assume salvation for ourselves if we are not in our hearts repentant of our sin and if we do not put our trust in Jesus Christ alone. That's what Zechariah sings about. John will give God's people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of sins. John will ready the people for the day of redemption. That's why Zechariah can sing also about his own son. That even in his own son, God is showing such compassion and mercy for his people. In the birth of John and the events of the previous year, Zechariah could see, as it were, the light at the end of a very long, dark tunnel. He could see that long, dark night of sin and oppression and persecution for God's people finally coming to an end. And he sings, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And we understand that he is simply taking the Old Testament and realizing that what's happening. He basically echoes Isaiah 60, which says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord arises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you." Zechariah's language shows he's thinking of that passage in Isaiah 60. In Isaiah 2 verse 9, we read, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." And Malachi 4 refers to that same idea, the Son of Righteousness arising with healing in his wings. And by the inspiration of the Spirit, Zechariah understands all of these references was coming true in John and in Mary's son. The darkness. Understand this. The darkness is retreating. Some people had the great expectation that when Trump was elected, we would have the 8 years of darkness retreat rather quickly. Not happening quite as quickly as we anticipated. Well, that's after 8 years. How many years of darkness? And Zechariah can say the darkness is retreating. The Word of God, the light of God, is coming into the world, and he's lifting the shadow of eternal death. He is coming to set free all believers from the darkness of sin. Christ leads the way to peace that passes all understanding. Not just an end to hostility, but a right relationship with God and with each other, for all who are gifted with faith. I think Zechariah sings of beautiful things. I've always loved this song. And the question I have to ask is, do I really believe it? It's been a long time since Zechariah sang that song. It's been a long time. I mean, we have a full and complete revelation now. It's been a long time. Jesus said he was coming quickly. It's been a long time. Do you still believe what this is saying? That Jesus is the one who forgives your sins? That in Jesus Christ you are set free from the dominion of the devil? Power and the guilt of sin? You believe that you are actually been called by Almighty God to a life of holy and righteous service in this world? Do you share his joy because of what God has done in Christ? He was looking ahead to it yet at the time. But we see that Christ did come. Do you believe what the word is telling us? When you get together at Christmas, is all of this a burning reality? Or are you wondering, are we much like the world where we get caught up in parties and celebrations and gifts and shopping and eating and fellowship, and we forget what it's really all about? Is this Christmas a celebration because it is a time of vivid realization for us of what God has done in Christ, is doing in Christ, who is now reigned in glory? And is this Christmas an anticipation that Christ is coming again? Or have we become like Old Testament Israel, just going through the motions, not completely sure of everything or anything, just living by law, just living by tradition? Or are we filled with the excitement of the marvelous things that God is doing in Christ? The Spirit of God through this song tells us that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He's the Redeemer. Brothers and sisters, that light has never gone out. It continues to shine upon the world wherever the word goes forth, in both word and deed. God's people are the light of the world because Christ by the Spirit dwells in them. And their walking in the footsteps of Christ is a call to the world to come to Christ. And we understand that much of what happens in our world, the world hides itself from us, from the gospel. And we have to seek them out. We got to shine the light into the dark corners, as it were. We have to make sure that the light of the gospel is not hid under sheer tradition, under sheer habit, but that it shines all the more brightly because we understand who Christ is, because of what he's done in our lives, because we are living in obedience to our Lord. And as we go out, many people will not like the light and they will run from it. They may even hate us for it. But understand this, God's word never returns home void, and the lost sheep will come to the light. If any of you are still burdened down with the guilt of sin, with the power of sin very dominant in your life, then you must see who Jesus is here. You must come and recognize that in him alone is eternal salvation. In him alone is salvation from all those oppressive enemies. In him alone is any hope of serving God without fear and holiness and righteousness all our days. It's only in Christ that we can walk in the paths of peace, being right with God. For us who have come to the light, we must rejoice. We must be reminded to rejoice. To rejoice in what Christ has done, and to be joyful in walking in the footsteps of Christ, in the ways of righteousness and holiness in all that we think, say, and do. Which means we are to be a people of the word which reveals Christ. It is the light upon our path. God calls us to walk according to the light. And Scripture says to us, arise and shine. Live and walk in the light of the Lamb, giving God the glory. Arise and shine, letting your work so shine that others may see, as Christ says in the Sermon on the Mount, may see your good works and give God the glory. Arise and shine, for the way of salvation, Jesus Christ, the light of lights, has come. Rise and shine, because God has fulfilled all his promises of deliverance. He's rescued us who believe. And he has declared us righteous in his sight, as if we'd never sinned or been a sinner. And he has made us holy, setting us apart for service. So let us be holy, so that when he comes, we will be living in this world as the perfect and blameless bride. Amen.